KPBS On Demand is supported by the Del Mar Wine and Food Festival, happening October 2nd to 7th. Founded in partnership with Alex Morgan, Drew Brees, and Rob Machado, the festival gathers chefs from San Diego and national TV, plus athletes and culture icons. Tickets at delmar.wine.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, August 7th. The state is expanding a program that identifies and disarms dangerous gun owners. More on what local leaders plan to do next. But first, let's do the headlines. People experiencing homelessness in San Diego now have access to an ID bank. Local nonprofits Think Dignity and the Regional Task Force on Homelessness launched the document acquisition and storage service last week. It is located at the 3rd Avenue Charitable Organization in downtown San Diego. At the ID bank, people dealing with homelessness can acquire and store ID and related documents. Officials with the nonprofit said the service will make a difference, and having access to vital documents is a step toward services that can help people transition off the streets. Outreach locations will open over the next few weeks throughout the county, including in downtown San Diego, Kearny Mesa, and National City. Hot temperatures are going to drop slightly today. The National Weather Service says the midweek temps will be closer to average for this time of year. In the inland and mountain areas, temps will be in the low 80s, and by the coast, it'll be in the mid-70s. In the deserts, there's a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms today, with temperatures in the low hundreds. The weather is expected to heat up again over the weekend. The San Diego Humane Society is asking the public to adopt or foster dogs right now because of a record number of them in its care. The Society has a record 844 dogs at the moment. Most of them are adults, which are 7 months and older, and some puppies are available too. And more than 100 dogs have been with the organization for 3 months or more. If you would like to adopt a pet, visit sdhumane.org/adopt. And to sign up to become a foster, you can visit sdhumane.org/foster. If you cannot take in a dog right now, officials said, there are other ways to help, including donating to help care for nearly 2,000 pets in shelters right now. To do so, head to sdhumane.org/donate. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
The state is expanding a program that identifies and disarms dangerous gun owners. Reporter Katie Anasta says state leaders are looking to San Diego as a model.
San Diego has obtained more gun violence restraining orders than any other city in the country. They prevent people from accessing firearms if a court decides they're a danger to themselves or others. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says they work.
This is a powerful tool that is being underutilized and can be utilized fairly and lawfully more often to increase safety.
Now, local leaders have $4.2 million in state funding to expand the program. The San Diego City Attorney's Office will train law enforcement agencies throughout the state on court orders that prohibit gun possession. The office has launched a PSA as part of a public education campaign. Regional law enforcement agencies have also formed a task force to make sure the court orders get enforced. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The Commission on Police Practices recommended the San Diego Police Department change their vehicle pursuit policy. Reporter Katie Heisen says the police union is pushing back.
The commission began reviewing the San Diego Police Department's policy after a December car chase killed Mason and Malachi Orozco Romero, just 4 and 8 years old. Commissioner Armando Flores.
There's no need for recklessness to that degree on the streets.
They found the majority of SDPD chases started over minor infractions, like speeding or running a red light. About one in five involved a crash, most of which left someone injured. And they disproportionately involved Black and Latino residents.
It's become normalized to us. We really see cops speeding by and we give it no second thought.
They suggested changes last month. Top of their list, that police only start car chases for violent felonies. That's not unusual. Many cities already do this. The San Diego Police Officers Association did not respond to interview requests, but they did post on social media, calling the suggested change dangerous and horrific, saying it would prevent them from pursuing suspects for things like drunk driving or battery. Florida says the recommendations were preliminary for a reason. They want to talk with SDPOA and get feedback. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
A San Diego-based Navy doctor and a Navy SEAL commander could be forced out of the service over conditions at the Naval Special Warfare Basic Training Command in Coronado. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says one of them is taking issue with the investigation.
In February 2022, Seaman Kyle Mullen died just after finishing Hell Week at the Navy's Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training Center in Coronado, commonly referred to as BUDS. According to a Navy investigation, Mullen died of acute pneumonia and an enlarged heart. Investigators blamed SEAL leaders and medical staff for poor oversight and singled them out for punishment. During an appearance on the Sean Ryan podcast this week, former BUDS commander Captain Brad Geary says the service is just looking for someone to blame. He says investigators ignored the role performance-enhancing drugs might have played in Mullen's death, even though a large amount was found in his vehicle.
So the only crime here in this entire case, start to finish, is Schedule 3 controlled substances on a U.S. installation.
The Navy's investigation says its medical examiner didn't test for PEDs during an autopsy. A Navy spokesperson tells KPBS the service is proceeding with accountability actions against Geary and the former senior medical officer, but won't comment further on administrative matters. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
The USS Eisenhower aircraft carrier returned home last month after what its commanding officer called the most active Navy deployment since World War II. It was in the Red Sea, trying to contain the Middle East conflict. And its deployment demonstrated how the Navy is likely to fight in the future. Steve Walsh reports for the American Homefront Project.
The USS Eisenhower had F-18s in the air nearly every day during its 7 months in the Red Sea. Marvin Scott, the commander of Carrier Wing 3, says it was the busiest deployment he had ever seen.
When we were established in the Red Sea, we were flying 6 to 7 days per week, sometimes launching alerts at night, anywhere between 80 and 120 to sometimes 140 sorties per day. Very, very busy operational tempo.
The Ike left Norfolk days after war broke out between Israel and Hamas. By the end of the year, the strike group moved into the Red Sea as Houthi rebels in Yemen began disrupting international shipping. Scott says the carrier's F-18 strike fighters shot down around 60 drones launched by the Iranian-backed group. He says pilots learned that drones are difficult to see on the plane's radar.
The other difference is you're generally not defending yourself. You're defending someone else. It's not going to hit you. It's going to hit the several hundred people on the USS Philippine Sea. And the air wing took that very seriously.
The carrier only saw 2 port calls over the 9-month deployment because of the constant threat from a host of weapons.
The most complex series of engagements that the Navy has seen since World War II, absolutely.
After the carrier pulled into port, Captain Chris Hill said the mission was a learning experience for the Navy.
There's a lot of firsts that happen, you know, getting to go up against unmanned vehicles, aerial vehicles, surface vessels, unmanned underwater vehicles. I mean, it was, and then of course, anti-ship ballistic missiles, which we had never seen before. It was next level in terms of complexity.
Another first, the carrier included ship-wide Wi-Fi to help morale. Hill became a minor celebrity on social media, initially posting about Navy life like Taco Tuesday. But when inaccurate reports surfaced first on social media and then in news stories that the Houthis had successfully attacked the Eisenhower, Hill countered with video of planes landing and sailors below deck.
I was already doing that before the Houthis got involved. So I was telling the truth like I did every day. And so there was a question about the integrity of the ship and whether or not there was a hole in it. All I had to do was show a video that there was not a hole in it and just display normal Navy life.
Brian Clark is a former naval officer who is now with the Hudson Institute. He says for the Houthis, social media posts declaring that the Ike was in flames are a way of throwing sand in the gears to make people lose trust in what they're seeing from the West and their allies.
The Navy is now starting to figure out that that's a piece of the job that they have to address and make sure that the commanders are prepared when they get out there to do this.
The Navy has a number of high-tech weapons in the pipeline, such as lasers, which would lower the cost of doing battle against relatively cheap low-tech drones and missiles, like those provided by Iran. There are a lot of off-the-shelf technology the Navy could use to upgrade its ships right now, Clark says.
And these are all technologies that exist, and the Army has been using them. The Navy's just catching up now to how do you deal with the threat that the Army's been facing for about a decade.
The USS Roosevelt has taken over for the Ike in the Red Sea, as the Houthis show no sign of ending their campaign against international shipping. In Norfolk, I'm Steve Walsh.
This story was produced by the American Homefront Project, a public media collaboration that reports on American military life and veterans. The Paris Olympics are in full swing and skateboarding is in the spotlight. Reporter Tanya Thorne tells us about the San Diegans going for the gold.
This is the second time in Olympic history that skateboarding is an event in the Summer Games. Four San Diego County skateboarders made Team USA and are competing in Paris. The women's park team included Ruby Lilly from Oceanside and Bryce Wettstein from Encinitas. Wettstein came in second place for the women's skateboard park prelims, but placed sixth in the finals on Tuesday. The men's park team competes on Wednesday, and the local competitors are Gavin Botger from Vista and Tate Carew from San Diego. The third member of the men's park team also has a San Diego connection. Tom Schar went to San Dieguito High School Academy. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
Two San Diego Zoo giant pandas will soon make their anticipated public debut. Starting tomorrow, visitors will get to see Yun Chuan and Xing Bao at the zoo's new Panda Ridge. The pandas were flown to Southern California from China. They're the first pandas to enter the U.S. in 21 years. They arrived in San Diego earlier this summer and have spent the last several weeks getting used to the zoo and their new habitat. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.